But 1 Peter chapter 2, beautiful passage about our Savior, His suffering on our behalf, the blood He shed for us. Hallelujah. We wouldn't be here this morning if none of that were true. And just what it means to us as God's children in serving Jesus Christ. So here in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 21 is where we'll be, where the Bible says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the Shepherd and Bishop of your souls." So by whose stripes you were healed. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love You. We thank You for the privilege to be here this morning and open Your Word together. And pray now the Holy Spirit would take it and apply it and work miracles in each of our hearts. May we open our hearts to hear from You and just focus on that and push aside the distractions of life. We pray You'd guide us in Your truth and that Jesus Christ will be lifted up and magnified in this time. Thank You. And we commit this service to You and love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible says here in verse 21 that Jesus paid for our sins, but He wanted us to follow in His steps. He wanted us to follow in His steps. And if you're here this morning, you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, as it talks about in this passage. Jesus wants you to follow in His steps. And in this passage, He reveals some of the ways that we are to follow in His steps. But the first one is the one we don't often think about, and yet one of the most important for Christians, and that is God's called upon us to suffer. Now, we would rather not suffer because we're just that way. But notice it says, Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example. And so Jesus, when He's out on the cross, of course, He paid for our sins, but He also was an example to us on how to suffer, on how to commit ourselves unto the Lord and trust Him in the midst of suffering. And in all through the Scriptures, let's go to Acts 14 and look at a couple of Scriptures, but all through the Scriptures, we are promised that we as God's children, we will suffer for His sake. That's not a bad thing. Because God uses suffering in our lives to refine us and to grow us, we need it. Notice Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Do you see that word must? We must through much tribulation. We're going to have tribulations. Psalm 34:19 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." These are some promises you can take to the bank. You will suffer. But Jesus wants us to suffer like He suffered by committing ourselves unto the Lord, by understanding He makes no mistakes. Turn to Philippians 1:29 if you would. But God does not bring suffering into our lives because He wants to hurt us or because He doesn't love us. He does it because He knows it's good for us, and it's all part of Him refining us and conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. Notice Philippians 1:29. "For unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake." Now we're thrilled about the first part of this verse. Paul here is writing to the church of Philippi, and he says it's God's will that you believe on Jesus Christ. And we would all say, amen. Everybody should believe on Jesus Christ. But then he says, and also to suffer. It's God's will that we suffer for His sake. It's God's will. And God wants us to learn to deal with the suffering the way Christ did. It says in verse 22, He reviled not again. He didn't talk back. He didn't argue. He just committed Himself to the Lord. And that's what we should do. There in verse 23, "Who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not." If anybody had the power to threaten and return, Jesus did. Amen? I mean, as they were were spitting on him, and as they were punching him, and as they were putting a crown of thorns on his head, at any time Jesus could have said, "I've had enough," and zapped them all out of existence because he's God. But he didn't threaten, and he didn't argue, and he didn't talk back. He just trusted God. And that is what God wants. If we're going to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ, one of the ways that we're to do it is to suffer how Jesus suffered. And to deal with the suffering the way Jesus did. To learn that God makes no mistakes. And that suffering is good for us. Go to 2 Corinthians 4:16 if you would. God uses suffering in our lives. Many times in the scriptures, God actually talks about the power of suffering to grow us as Christians. And this is one of those examples here in 2 Corinthians 4. Look at verse 16. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Do you see that word "worketh"? God says that the affliction actually works for us. And that's true. Job said, "When he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold," in Job 23:10. Afflictions work for us. Afflictions are good for us. And we need to learn to have that attitude that when they come into our lives, God didn't make a mistake. God wasn't surprised or caught off guard. God knew, and God allowed it. Jesus Christ suffered. He suffered a lot for you and I. We're going to talk about that here in a moment. But as we see in verse 23 of our passage, he didn't revile again. He didn't argue back. He didn't threaten. It says he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Sometimes the suffering that comes into our lives comes from others, doesn't it? It often does. And what God is saying is when that happens, it's not our place to get vengeance. It's not our place to fight back. You know, we learn that as a child, don't we? He hit me first. So that makes it okay to hit back. But as Christians, we aren't allowed to hit back, are we? We're actually told to do the opposite. Notice 1 Peter 4:19, if you would. And so as we contemplate that Jesus worked this miracle of dying in our place on Calvary, the Bible says he suffered, leaving us an example. And if we're going to follow in his steps, one of the ways we're going to follow in his steps is by dealing with the suffering how he did. Notice 1 Peter 4:19. "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator." 1 Peter 4:19. Commit yourself to the Lord. Romans 12:19 says, "Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." Never in Scripture are Christians given the permission to execute vengeance. That's God's job. We're to trust God. And so if we're going to follow in the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ, follow his examples, we read here in verse 21, one of the ways we're going to do that is to suffer how he suffered. We're all going to suffer. That's a given. But how we deal with the suffering is up to us, isn't it? We can deal with it like Jesus did, or we can deal with it like our flesh wants to. By complaining, by arguing with God, by saying, "Woe is me," by fighting back. None of these things are scriptural. So if we're going to follow in his steps, we're going to suffer like he suffered. Look at verse 24 of our passage, 1 Peter 2. Beautiful truth, "who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree." You know, every Christian will acknowledge instantly that Jesus Christ died for us. Amen? I mean, that's the heart of the gospel. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again according to the scriptures. That's the heart of what we believe and why we know we're going to heaven, because what Jesus did for us, he died and paid for our sins. But this says here, he bare our sins in his own body. And often we don't stop and think about that. That the suffering that he went through was more than just dying for us. It was all that went up to that point as well. That he literally bore our sins in his own body. And as we read through the scriptures, the Bible says his friends forsook him, that they the soldiers spit in his face, they punched him, they scourged him. A scourging, it's just a word, but as you study what a scourging is, it was a cat of nine tails with bits of glass tied on the end of each strip of leather, such that every time they whipped them with that cat of nine tails, it would literally rip out a piece of flesh off the back and just turn the back into just a bloody mess. The Bible says they stripped him, they put a crown of thorns on his head, and then they hit the crown of thorns with reeds to jam those giant thorns into the scalp. And then they mocked him. And then they, of course, nailed him to a cross. And that's just some of the things Christ went through. But as he was hanging on the cross, they mocked him again. But nothing like when Christ, for those 3 hours. And no, we cannot completely comprehend how God could work all this out, since Jesus is God. But for those 3 hours, he had to suffer separation and cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the Bible says in the middle of the day, the sky went dark for 3 hours as Jesus literally became sin for us. Let's see that in 2 Corinthians 5:21. We could talk more about how they plucked his beard out by the roots. You talk about painful. Isaiah 52 says his visage or his appearance was marred more than any other man. In other words, his face, because of all the blood from his scalp, because of his beard being ripped out, because of how many times he'd been punched, his face was not even recognizable as a human. It was so swollen and bloody. Christ went through all of that for you and me. For 2 Corinthians 5:21, he hath made him to be sin for us. It's one thing that we understand that he bare our sins and that he died for us, but he also suffered for us and even became sin. Hard for us to comprehend, isn't it? But that's what it says. God the Father made Jesus Christ the Son sin. He became sin. Why? Look at the end of the verse. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. Could there be a greater exchange in the universe than for Jesus to become sin for us so we could receive his righteousness and be allowed into heaven? Jesus did all that for us. And he says he wants us to follow in his steps now. He's paid the price of our sin. He's given us the hope of eternal life. He's given us heaven. He's given us his presence. He's given us his word. Now he wants us to follow in his steps. And one of the ways is, how do we deal with the suffering? But another one of the ways, go to back to our verse 24, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Here in 1 Peter 2:24, we are dead to sin now. If you're a born-again Christian, the old man has been crucified. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. And you are as well. Romans 6:11, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. That's us. Colossians 3:3 says, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. God says we are dead to sins so that we can, what? Live unto righteousness. And if we're going to follow in the steps of the one by whose stripes our souls are healed forever, we're going to deal with the suffering like Jesus did, but we're also going to live under righteousness. You know, our entire Christian life, from the day we're saved until the day we leave this earth, should be one big thank you to God. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you for giving me eternal life. I didn't deserve it. Thank you for all you've done for me. And I want to show my thanks by living for you, by serving you. We're to live unto righteousness. Look at Romans chapter 6, if you would, and we'll see this. You know, when God saved us, he didn't just take us straight to heaven. He left us here for a reason, and that's to serve him. If you're here this morning and somebody shared the gospel with you, praise God they shared the gospel with you. If God had just taken that person to heaven the day they were saved, they wouldn't have shared the gospel with you. There'd be no one to share the gospel with us. Romans chapter 6, look at verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey in the lust thereof. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. If you're going to follow the steps of Christ, that's what we need to be doing. Yielding ourselves to God, living under righteousness. Are we going to be perfect? No. Are we going to make some mistakes along the way? Yes. And we deal with those as they come and we confess them. But if we're going to follow in the steps of our, as it says here, the shepherd and bishop of our souls, we're not only going to learn to handle suffering as he handled it, but we are going to live unto righteousness. And by the way, we can do it. If God commanded us to do it, we can do it. Why? Well, first of all, God the Holy Spirit moved in. Amen? We're now the temple of God. He's there to help us, to guide us, to convict us, to give us victory and strength and wisdom and so forth. He's also given us His Word. The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So He's given us His Word, and God says here in 1 Peter 2:24, by His stripes ye were healed. Go to Isaiah 53, if you would, and verse 6. But God healed us of our sin problem. Every one of us were born with a disease called sin. And the consequences, the final outcome of that disease is to die forever in a place called hell. But Jesus Christ healed us miraculously. Amen? When He died for us. Isaiah 53 verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Look at verse 5. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. And as we reflect back on all that Christ went through, all that suffering, all that abuse, to be nailed to that cross, and then to die, He did all that we might be healed of our sin problem. Hallelujah. So yes, it is possible to handle suffering like Jesus did. It is possible to live under righteousness. Jesus has made it possible because He's healed us. We are no longer sinners on our way to hell. Now we have eternal life. Now we have God in us. Now we have His Word. And back in our passage, we'll finish in verse 25. For ye were as sheep going astray. Before we got saved, we were going astray, amen, on our way to hell. And if you've ever dealt with sheep, you understand this passage quite well. Sheep that just wander out of the way, they go astray. And by the way, sheep are about the dumbest animals you could ever know, aren't they? And God compares us to sheep of all animals. He didn't compare us to intelligent animals like dogs. He compared us to sheep. And we were as sheep going astray. But look what it says. You'll return unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Now we have the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're part of His sheepfold. Now we've been allowed to enter through the door, the one door, Jesus Christ. He's paid it all. But we were a sheep going astray. Go to Matthew 9, if you would, verse 36. And when Jesus was on the earth, this is what He saw. When he looked around, He didn't see what we see. He saw sheep. Look at it, Matthew 9:36. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. No shepherd to rescue them from the wolves. No shepherd to bring them into the fold and make sure they're fed and taken care of. Just scattered abroad. That's what he saw. But he is the good shepherd. And if you heard the gospel and you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're now in his sheepfold. Hallelujah. And if we're going to be following in the steps of Christ, which we're commanded to do because by his stripes we're healed, he says, now in return, I want you to suffer like I suffered. I want you to not fight back. I want you to not complain like Israel constantly did. I don't want you to execute vengeance on people that have wronged you. I just want you to trust God like Christ did. And then he says, I want you to live into righteousness. I want you to live a righteous life. He said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Live an obedient Christian life. But lastly, he wants us to help as many sheep as we can find the good shepherd. Amen? We are returned to the shepherd and bishop of our souls. Hallelujah. But there are many sheep, as Jesus saw here in Matthew 9, scattered abroad. What do they need? They need one thing more than anything else, don't they? They need salvation. They need to hear about Jesus. Somebody told us. They need us to tell somebody so that they also can have opportunity to, like we have been able to do, return unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls. Hallelujah. So Jesus has healed us. By his stripes we've been healed. We've been given eternal life. Our sin problem has been dealt with for eternity. He's forgiven us all trespasses. But he says, now that I've done that for you, I went through all that suffering, went through all that pain, all that abuse, shedding my blood for you at Calvary. I did all that I might heal you. Now, he says, I want you, verse 21, to follow his steps. Suffer like he suffered. You're going to suffer, but deal with it like he did. Live unto righteousness. Live a life of righteousness and holiness like Jesus did. And try to help the sheep that are scattered abroad hear about the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in John chapter 10, verse 1, I am the good shepherd. And he said, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. Down in John chapter 10, verse 27. But we need to tell them so that they can find Jesus and they can receive the eternal life. Praise God, by his stripes we are healed. Now he wants us to go forward and live like someone that's been healed. Amen? Live that new life. Live the life that Christ lived, a life of suffering by trusting God in the midst of the suffering. Live a life of righteousness. Live a life of caring about the sheep that are scattered abroad, that they might know about Jesus.